Broadcasting live from the center of the universe, it's Business School Without the BS, featuring optometrist-turned-entrepreneur Dr. Robert Zellner with USSBA Entrepreneur of the Year, Clay Clark.
1980 was the year of my conception. From the dorm room found a DJ connection. Entrepreneur of the Year in 07. On my path to the top, I learned a lot of lessons. Kicked out of college writing a parody rap. Dissed ORU liking Trump and Rosie recap. I've been known for getting stuff done, not giving a crap. In for jocking up wins while my competition naps. Now it is a Thrive Time show on your radio. Catch the broadcast or the podcast download. If you've got a business, we'll help it grow. God's got a plan you just didn't yet know about. Workflows, systems, scripts, and hiring. Motivating yourself when you need inspiring. These faces made for radio and not TV. Talking everything from Clay to Z. Auto watches, banks, haircuts, and glasses. You want to sell them, we've already sold it to the masses. No classes or prerequisites. Just business school as raw as it gets.
It's a Thrive Time show on the radio. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah, yeah, all about you,
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 yeah.
So we bring the boom.
All right, Thrive Nation, welcome back to your daily conversation. It is the Thrive Time Show on your radio. Eric Chupp, today we are talking about, Eric Chupp, business coach, today we are talking about how success really only comes to the people who have a magnificent obsession with achieving it.
Magnificent. Obsessions.
Yeah, could you look up the actual textbook definition of the word magnificent for a second? Because I think that a lot of times, you know, we throw words around there. And I think this year, you know, one of the things that I decided to do a couple years ago was, if I'm going to say a word, I really should know what the word
let's
means.
Let's know what that, what are we conveying with that word?
Let's know the origin of words.
Okay.
Because words really do have the power to impact people. So let's think about the word magnificent. What is the textbook definition of the word magnificent?
So magnificent, impressively beautiful, elaborate, or extravagant, striking even.
There we go. So what happens is that people will say to me all the time, Clay Clark, you remember me from high school? And I'll say, I do. And I'll say, how are you doing, buddy? And they said, fine. Hey, want you to know, I listened to the podcast, or hey, I bought your book on Amazon last year, or whatever. And I want to ask you, how have you been able to have success with each company? Because you and your partner built 13 multimillion-dollar companies. So I remember, you know, 5 years ago when you guys were starting Elephant in the Room, and that did well. You know, and I remember like 8 years ago, you guys were starting the Epic Photography thing, and that did well, and then. Seemed like, you know, 18 years ago, you were starting the DJ company, and they all do well. And I said, well, I say this all the time. This is a very normal conversation. People ask me this constantly. And I will tell them, well, the one thing that I do that I don't think that you're willing to do yet, but as soon as you make that switch, then you're definitely going to be successful. But there's one thing that I do that I don't know that anybody else is willing to do that. And they said, well, what is it? I said, well, I have a magnificent obsession with whatever that thing is, and I refuse to lose. And so what I'll do is I'll do anything it takes to get it done that is legal and ethical. So if you turn to page 29 of the 1945 edition of Think and Grow Rich,
oh, yeah.
It says here, this book was written for those who seek the rules which have made others successful and are willing to stake everything on those rules. So let's just do an example of this Christmas season. So this Christmas, to me, the Christmas season, in all sincerity, I know it is about a celebration of Christ coming to earth. It is a celebration of the ultimate gift, where the world received a gift from God himself as God incarnate on the planet Earth, God in the form of flesh, Jesus who came and died for our sins. And I also know that holiday comes from the word holy day, which means it's supposed to be a celebration of great things. But here's the thing. Chup, the holidays, for me, I jokingly refer to it as the holla plagues.
Right.
The holla plagues because the work that we do as business coaches does not decrease at all.
No.
Despite the fact that we have like 8 days off or something. And so as an example, you and I opened presents with the kids, spent time with the wives and the family and did that. But we still have a daily radio show today.
Right.
Daily.
Every day.
And so a lot of people would say, I'm willing to do anything it takes to be successful. I'm so, I tell you what, you guys are blessed to have a radio show
every
and,
day.
And I think it's awesome that you guys, it's got to be a blessing to have your podcast hit the top five of iTunes. It's got to be a blessing, man, to have a book, to have nine books.
Right,
it's got to be
yeah.
a blessing to have those nine books, because I know that if I had nine books on Amazon and I was selling, you know, a couple, three, four, five of those every day and the holidays spike and selling more of those, it'd be awesome, you know, to sell that many books. It'd be awesome to have the elephant in the room, the three locations. It'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. But Chup, do you remember what happened on the eve of Christmas Eve for the elephant in the room?
The eve of Christmas Eve? Yes, I do. The snow began to melt.
The snow began to melt.
We had magical pre-Christmas snow. It began to melt.
Dreaming
and thus became
of a white
the
Christmas.
Waterfall that was
we
elephant
had a
in the room
leak
downtown.
Up on our roof.
So yeah, the roofer was supposed to go out and fix it. He did not apparently finish the job, and the snow began to melt. And then at, what, 7:30, 8 a.m. on the eve of Christmas Eve, we better run down there and make sure that
I think we ran over there around like 8 a.m.
Yeah, something like that. So
other people were off doing what they do.
Right.
And on Christmas Eve, we were talking to a restoration company about renovating the store.
Correct.
And guess what we were doing on the eve of Christmas Eve? We were patching a hole on the roof. And then on Christmas itself, we were having time with our families, but we had to strategize what to do to get the shops back in order.
Right.
A lot of people, they don't see that part. They just see the tip of the iceberg. They see the success.
Yeah.
The success.
This is overnight.
They also don't see that we had to still record a radio show on Christmas.
Christmas was a Monday.
So you have to record a radio show during that, because it's a daily show.
Every day.
It's a daily show. You know, and then you have to still do the show prep for the show.
Which means you have to do that before. That means you have to do the before the show.
So it means what we have to do is you and I, the trade-off, the consequence of having big success is we have big trade-offs.
Right.
And so we don't know what it means to take a day off.
That's true.
And so before you worked with us here at Thrive as a business coach, you were a business owner.
Correct.
So talk to me about God's gift of DayQuil and your last sick day while running the concrete company. Think about that. Think hard about that. Think about running the concrete company, waking up going, I feel sick. Yeah. I just don't feel good. And, you know, other jobs potentially, you know, where you are not self-employed.
There's a backup.
You could pick up the phone.
Right.
You could call in. Boop, 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 boop. I just want you to know, I don't really feel that good.
Who's on call today?
Is there anybody can fill in for me? Now, as a self-employed person, talk to me about God's gift of DayQuil and you're in DayQuil and your magnificent obsession to be successful.
Right.
And what you had to do when you were sick as a self-employed person.
So there's a thing about working in the concrete industry in specific that when it's summertime and it's hot, you have to get going early.
Oh.
So, I mean, we would be up at midnight, 1 a.m., getting ready, meeting guys at the shop. And if I didn't get up and go, even if I was sick, even if I was tired, even if I didn't want to, nobody was there to unlock the shop. Nobody was there to get all the guys, the trucks and the equipment that we needed. Nobody was there to order the concrete. Nobody was there to do. Like, there's just so much stuff that will not get done.
Wouldn't it be nice to be self-employed? Because then you wouldn't have a sick day off.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice to be a millionaire? Because then you get to be the freaking boss. People will call you sick. They will say they can't come in, but you have to work. Right? Because
it's what happens. Because the buck stops with you. There is nobody else. And the employees will not have your back.
But then once you build the business to be big enough, then you can hire people. But turns out the kind of people that also don't take sick days want to be paid a little bit of money.
That's true.
So now you got to pay them more money. More if you want to have a really stable team.
Right.
Now you got to pay them more money.
It's just the law of the world.
So this is how it works. I would just encourage you today, if you're thinking about starting a successful company, if you want to do that, you must have the mindset that is published on page 31 of the 1945 personally signed edition of Think and Grow Rich. This is describing Henry Ford and developing the V8 engine. Millions of people look at the achievements of Henry Ford after he has arrived and envy him because of his good fortune, or luck, or genius, or whatever it is that they credit for Ford's fortune. Perhaps one person in every 100,000 knows the secret of Ford's success. And those who do know are too modest or too reluctant to speak of it because of its simplicity. A single transaction will illustrate the secret perfectly. A few years back, Ford decided to produce the now famous V8 motor. He chose to build an engine with the entire 8 cylinders cast in one block and instructed his engineers to produce a design for the engine. The design was placed on paper, but the engineers agreed to a man that it was simply impossible to cast an 8-cylinder gas engine block in one piece.
Simply impossible.
Ford said, produce it anyway. But they replied, it's impossible. Ford said, go ahead. Ford commanded, and stay on the job until you succeed, no matter how much time it is required. The engineers went ahead. There was nothing else for them to do if they were to remain on the Ford staff. 6 months went by, nothing happened. Another 6 months passed, and still nothing happened. The engineers tried every conceivable plan to carry out the orders, but the thing seemed out of the question. Impossible! At the end of the year, Ford checked with his engineers, and again they informed him that they had found no way to carry out his orders. Go ahead, said Ford. I want it, and I'll have it. Okay, so just think about this for a second. The idea that you tell your team you want to get something done, and then after about a year, they get demotivated. So I'm going to use the Thrive Time Show experience, because this happens all the time for me in every business venture I've ever been involved in, and I understand the timelines of success. I will give them to you now, and I would like for you as the listener to think about this today and think about whether you have the magnificent obsession needed to be successful. So we're going to introduce the following three companies. We'll put it on the show notes just so we can have a little fun with the trivia here. How many years did it take Tesla to become profitable? Tesla? Like Elon Musk? Like the new self-driving electric car that can accelerate fast? Like insane mode? Like the guy who's kind of considered to be the new genius of our time? You mean, oh, he had to do that real fast. He was probably successful like in a week or two or a month or two.
Had to be.
No, 10 years. 10 years. Didn't make a profit for 10 years. 10 years. Well, okay, fine. But what about Amazon? Well, it was easy. I mean, he probably just started in the garage. Everyone knows that. He started in the garage and coded some stuff up. Boop-a-doop-a-doop. And then whoop-ow. And then pew, a lot of sound effects there. That's how you make it exciting when someone's launching a business.
That's right.
Pew, ow.
Bezos knows.
Took him 7 years. Jeff Bezos, 7 years. 7 years. Oh, 7 years, yes. 7 years to become profitable. Oh, seven. Well, what about Walt Disney, though? That guy's the man. I mean, hey, everybody, I'm Mickey Mouse. I'm a Christmas edition of Mickey Mouse. Woo! I'm a holiday classic edition of Mickey Mouse. We're re-releasing every single Disney movie every single year, and we're calling it something special because it's newly remastered. Woo! So Disney, how long did it take for them to be profitable? Well, the thing is, Walt Disney lost it all 7 times. 7 times. He lost it all 7 times. Oh, these are fun. Can we do some more? Well, Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison, Eazy-E, baby. Eazy-E. How long did it take Eazy-E to invent that first light bulb that worked? He had 10,000 failed experiments, Chip. 10,000.
That's a few.
10,000. How about the guy, the Dyson vacuum guy? That'll be my final example. You know, it took the Dyson vacuum guy 15 years to become profitable while living entirely on his wife's income and over 5,000 failed experiments. So what's the point? I'm just saying, I don't know what your issue is. When we come back, we're going to talk about your magnificent obsession and the ability you have to push through some freaking adversity. Because if you can't do it, if you can't take the heat, you got to get yourself out of the entrepreneurial kitchen. Stay tuned. It's the Thrive Time Show.
Radio.
I know exactly who you could be. So just hold on. We're going home. Just hold on.
Get ready to enter the Thrive Time Show.
Yes, sir. It's Ian Clay, broadcaster from the box in the 918. Business school in the topic today. Check the syllabus, it's getting you paid. Making the business boom is what we do. You can do it, let us show you. I'm a father of five with maniacal focus. To teach the proven moves, no hocus pocus. Cause get rich quick is not a move. But the proven system will make your life improve. See, I'm more than just a rhymer, like a horse with blinders. Focused on the Thrive Time Show, that's where you find us. He be the Z and I be the C. Teaching business skills from clay to Z. We both grew up poor, but we're poor no more. The goal of this show is to help you score. So I couldn't see the mic until my son could see. But I learned to rock the mic in the high school scene. A young DJ
with the million-dollar dream. Numb to the pain that rejection brings. So I, like a sock farmer, sweated for that green. Now I'm on your radio with a thank you and please. Share this podcast with a friend and enemy. Now it's talks of business from plate to sea.
It's a Thrive Time show on the radio. Yes, it is.
Oh, yes, it is. That's Captain Hook, Merton Huff on the chorus right there. Merton Huff, are you ready for the Thrive Time show on your radio? And who's Merton Huff? Merton Huff is the praise and worship leader from the Metropolitan Baptist Church who is singing the hooks on some of our new intro music.
That's right, he is.
And I would like to give a big shout out to Merton, but I also would like to explain to you something about Merton that is certain. Are you ready for this here? Are you ready? Chubb, are you ready for this idea?
I was ready for this idea yesterday.
Okay. What we're talking about today is that success only comes to those who have a magnificent obsession. Now, when you see Merton, he probably looks like he's 25 because he's so healthy. He's so
he does look good.
He's so
slender.
Tall.
His face has got a good shape.
Yeah, you got a good face shape there, Merton. Very, very thin, eats well, good guy.
Yeah, muscular.
So muscular. Yeah, really, we're hitting on Merton.
He's got good clothes, too. He's got fashion.
He's just a great guy. He is. Just love it. Just the way he looks. Mm. He's just amazing. Mm. So Merton, though, sings well. He plays the piano well. Well, you know, one of the most boring things to do is to watch somebody practice the piano. It's like the worst thing in the world to watch somebody do the scales. Because if you play the scales, that's how you get good at something.
Oh, my gosh.
So you have to go, boom, 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 boom. Yeah, and then you just keep doing it over and over. And then you're trying to do 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 do. They're trying to find the pitch because they're not used to singing, and so your singing teacher, your teacher who's your vocal lessons, the person who's working with you on singing says, "Sing with me now, do." And you're like, "No,
no,
do, do, no, no, no." And you just keep going, and then you practice, and then about 3 years go by, and all of a sudden, you at church, you know, they have a lady who's supposed to be singing the big, you know, the big Amazing Grace or something, you know, and she pulls a hamstring or she can't be there. She's out of town, something.
Right.
And so they said, "Hey, we're looking for someone else to sing this Sunday in service, you know." And they look around and they look at the 12-year-old kid named Merton and they say, "Hey, kid, you want to get in there?" And he says, "Hey, listen here. Hey, quit shortchanging me. I've been practicing since I was six. This is my sixth year of practicing, actually.
Get out of here."
And I'll get up there. So he gets up there and performs, and he's pretty good. Well, the thing is, he doesn't get a chance to perform again for a while, so he practices and practices and practices. Now he's like 18. Well, age 18, he starts to get pretty good because he's been obsessing about becoming great.
Right.
So this concept of having a magnificent obsession begins with action item number one, my friends. You must decide that you're not going to quit until you get there. Until you get there. You cannot stop until you get there. So let me give you some examples. When I sold DJConnection.com, if you look that up, it's DJConnection.com. It's the nation's largest wedding entertainment company. When I sold the business, I thought to myself, when you first started the business, you know, Yellow Pages were big, but now they're not big. And Google wasn't big at all, but now it's big. I bet you that people all over the world struggle with getting to the top of Google. And I bet you that they could make millions of dollars if they were topping Google. Wow, Self, this is a very long conversation, I know. And so I started thinking to myself, you know, gosh, Self, if I could figure out how Google worked, you know, if I could figure out how that worked, I bet you there's a lot of people that would benefit from that. I bet you that could be a thing.
Seems
so
important.
I obsessed for a little over 2 years, and Vanessa can attest to this. I would just, every day, I've sold the business, and I was like 27, kind of semi-retired. Every single day, I would read books about how Google works.
That's fun read, too.
Books? Yeah, not even just one book, but books.
I can see some of them on the shelf here. There's like a phone book that says Search Engine for Dummies. That's one of them.
Right, and you just read Search Engine for Dummies and Get Rich Click and retargeting, and you begin reading, and How Google Works by Eric Schmidt, and you just read, and then you find Google's actual, you know that Google actually has how they started available on the internet. We'll put it on the show notes there because you can find it. Chip, you'll need to search for Google and then stanford.edu, and you'll be able to find the original thesis paper that they wrote describing how the Google search engine would work.
Got it.
But anyway, I worked on this for a long, long time. And once I finally knew how to do it, I had a lot of my friends who are business owners, and I'd call them up and say, "Hey, buddy, you want to get to the top of Google?" And they'd say, "Yeah." Or a lot of times they'd call me, "Hey, man, how are you topping Google?" And I'd say, "Hey, here's the deal. Let me get your dentistry to the top of Google. So, Chubb, here was my value proposition. You want to hear my early pitch as a consultant here?
Let's hear it. I want to hear it.
I said,
pitch me.
Well, let's say you're a dentist. So, Chubb, right now, how much do you pay your front desk lady, your front desk guy, front desk person?
She's making $12 an hour.
Okay, here's the deal. If you were to hire somebody for $8.25 per hour and they could bring in, you know, for you 50 times what you were paying them, would you hire them?
I mean, yeah.
So if you're paying them $8.25 an hour and they could bring in approximately $400 an hour, would you do it?
That seems like a pretty good deal.
What if they could bring in five times what you paid them? If you paid them $8 an hour and they could bring in $64 an hour, would they be worth it in your mind?
I think so.
Okay, here's the deal. The way I've developed this program is for less money than it would cost you to hire one $8.25 per hour employee, okay? Well, I'm going to get you to the top of Google, make your phone ring, and we're going to dominate all your digital marketing. Again, for less money than it would cost you to hire even one $8.25 per hour employee. So my total cost is $1,500 a month, but I want to keep 5% of the gross sales above where you're currently stuck. So Scouts Honor, wherever you're currently stuck. So your dentistry, you're doing what, $2 million a year?
2.1 last year.
Okay, so anything above, let's say 2.2, I want 5% of it. Does that sound fair?
I think so. Let's do it.
Okay.
And is that what you heard? Yes, let's do it.
Yeah, and so I quickly got, 15, 20 clients, and 15 clients who are paying $1,500 a month comes out to about $22,000, $23,000 a month. And it was just me doing all the work, writing all the articles, optimizing all the websites, doing it all by myself.
That's a lot
all
of stuff.
All by myself. I'm making freaking big bucks by myself because I'm working out of my house. That's all I was doing, is working out of my house, making tons of money, having no team, and it was beautiful. It was awesome. And then one day it occurred to me, I bet you that we could scale business coaching. So all the exact, because when you're helping someone market their company, they usually will say, hey, by the way, I need help with my sales scripts.
Right.
And I need help with my website header.
How do I fire this person?
I need to learn how to fire them. I need an org chart. Do you guys make business cards? Do you know who's the guy that you would use to make apparel? Mm. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do this. And so I obsessed on it. And so here we are, basically 12 years later, and the Thrive Time Show business coaching program is the world's largest and most successful business coach program. But it's the magnificent obsession that allows you to win. When we come back, we're going to talk about why it's not actually easier to quit something, but why a lot of people think it's easier to quit something. We're talking about your magnificent obsession and you having a magnificent amount of success during the year of 2018.
Get ready to enter the Thrive Time Show on Talk Radio 1170. Broadcasting live from the center of the universe, it's Business School Without the BS, featuring optometrist-turned-entrepreneur Dr. Robert Zellner with USSBA Entrepreneur of the Year Clay Clark.
All right, Thrive Nation, welcome back to the conversation. It is the Thrive Time Show on your radio. You can check us every day out on the broadcast or on the podcast download. Now, today we're talking about a magnificent obsession and how you absolutely must have a magnificent obsession if you're going to win in the game of business. And if you are obsessed with becoming successful, taking your business to the next level, we today have an opportunity to give you free conference tickets. Now, the conference tickets are valued at $99 a piece. So if you do the math right there, well, 99 plus 99, that'd be $198.
Oh,
plus,
yeah,
we're
right.
Giving you a copy of the Thrive book that I have written. You can buy that on Amazon for about $20, and you can get it for free. But we're going to give away basically $220 of free stuff.
Correct.
To all the listeners between now and it'd be February, now until February the 1st. Okay?
Okay.
So now until February 1st. And all they have to do is take just a few action steps.
Just a couple.
You can't get something for nothing, Chubb. You got to do something.
There's a trade-off.
Okay,
a trade-off.
Walk us through the trade-off. Let's see if we want to do this.
All right, so here's what you got to do. We got to look up Thrive Time Show, okay, on iTunes or Stitcher. So you can Google Thrive Time Show. Hmm. Find us on iTunes or Stitcher. Subscribe. Step one, subscribe.
Okay, step one, subscribe.
Step two, leave an objective review.
Stop going so fast. Can you go back to step one? I'm trying to write this down on an etch-a-sketch. Repeat it again. I'm trying to get my...
I've got to start over. So step one, find us on iTunes or Stitcher, Thrive Time Show.
Find you on iTunes or Stitcher. Man, it's really hard because it's like you do those little knobs. It's hard to write anything, but give me a second. All right, chop back.
We got links on the show notes, actually, to make it easy for you guys. So find us, subscribe. Then you're going to subscribe, okay? Leave us an objective review. We really do like to read those and make the show better. So leave us a review. We'll check those out.
What do you mean by review?
You hit the little stars. Tell us how good we're doing. Put some words on there. Type up what you think about the show, anything we could do better, what you're really getting out of the show. Let us know how it's changed your life, if it has. I know it has. And then take a screenshot of that review and email it to info@thrive15.com. That's info@thrive15.com. 2 free tickets, a $200 value, and a free copy of Clay Clark's book, Thrive.
And we're going to get all that to you absolutely for free, but you got to just take some action between
come
now
out to the conference. It's awesome.
You will.
You're going to get so much out of it, I promise.
Now, what we're talking about today is how to achieve success and how success only comes to those who have a magnificent obsession. So we'll get back to the Thrive Time Show story. So this is the thing. So I'm making copious amounts of cash, literally working from my house without a team of people at all. Got 15 clients, charge them approximately $1,500 a month each, and I get 5% of their sales above a certain level. Because when you're a business owner and you can't grow and you don't know how to grow, doing all that for $8.25 an hour, it's like, okay, let's try it.
Yeah, there's something about it, and we've talked about this on the show before, but if you're out there and you're struggling with your business, having a successful business is super fun.
It is
when there's money coming in and you're not super stressed out about paying the bills and payroll and all this, and you get to hire new people and train and build an awesome team around you. There's a lot of negatives, but when you get to that point, it is so much fun.
It is a lot of fun, and so I thought, you know what, I can do this. And so what we did is we created thousands and thousands of training videos.
Literally.
Like, I think 3,000 training videos over a 3-year window. And what's fun about the videos is that people, there's a lot of people who are so far away from Tulsa that they will watch the videos and not even really know about our workshops.
Yeah.
And so they don't even know that that's something that we do. Well, then over time, they'll discover while watching the videos, they're subscribers that are paying like $19 a month. They go, gosh, you know what? I think I saw somewhere on the site something about a conference.
Workshop? Conference?
And I'd like to get out to that. And so we have people from Connecticut, people from Florida, people from Chicago.
Canada.
People from
Texas.
Albuquerque, New Mexico, Colorado. You're just listing all the states right now.
That's right, we are.
That's right. But I mean, we have people from all over the world that will come in. And when they come to the workshop, they'll say, gosh, you know, what else do you guys do? What other tools do you have? It's kind of like going into Office Depot. And you walk in there, and for me, I love going to Office Depot, by the way. But I go in there, and it's like, gosh, they have these little tabs, and you can glue these tabs onto pages of a book, and you can like make like little label things where you can find the information faster in a
Clay's
book.
Notes.
I mean, they're awesome, these little tabs. Yeah. And so I didn't even know those tabs existed years ago. But when I go in, I'm like, gosh, I want those tabs.
Mm.
And then I'll walk by the section where they have the Super Sharpie, like the new 2018 edition of the Super Small Precision Sharpie. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, they just made it better. How's that possible? They got a new highlighter in there, turns out, this week. Where it's a highlighter where it shows how much ink is left. Oh, man, that's awesome.
That way you know.
I don't have the instability of wondering how much ink is actually left behind this plastic
coating. Is this my last streak across the to-do list with this red highlighter? Is
it? It's like being able to look inside the M&M to see how much chocolate is actually there.
Oh, my God. That's a wonderful metaphor.
It's phenomenal. And so that's what they'll come to a conference and they'll say, whoa, 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 whoa. So you guys could help my business for less money than it would cost me to hire even one $8.25 per hour employee. Because anybody out there who's ever hired somebody, you know what it means to hire someone. You have to provide them an office space, a desk. I just have my people work outside. Fine. A truck. I prefer to have my people walk to work. Okay, fine.
Deal with their problems.
Then you have to motivate them, manage them, hire a manager to manage them. If you don't manage them, you got to deal with unemployment when they have to be fired. You got to deal with benefits if you choose to offer them, bonuses, commissions, tracking. They call in sick. All of a sudden, I mean, you're going, gosh, you know what? If you guys can handle my web, my marketing, my photography, my video, my just branding, everything, my accounting, If you can handle all that for less money than I would pay an $8.25 per hour employee, then yes.
If you have a problem with employees, good luck with subcontractors.
Good luck.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they're actually worse.
Right, they're way worse. They have a chip on the shoulder to where they're not employed. They really are, right?
Right.
They're just an employee. You're just hiring them with a different title. But it seems to come with a little chip on the shoulder of, I'll get to it when I get to it. I'm a subcontractor.
Right, and I have many other clients, and I get to choose the hours I work, yeah. And I get to do what I want. And I'm not going to follow any standards because that's why I have chosen to be
a
subcontractor. That's why I've chosen to be that. Right. If I was going to be an employee, then I would follow the systems. But God forbid if I worked over 41 hours, I swear to God, I would have to. I'd have to file a complaint and try to get double pay, and I'd have to just
triple maybe who
triple
knows?
Pay. I swear to God, I'm not going to sign that agreement. Mm. I swear. Mm. So, anyways, the thing is that our system, though, that I've been obsessing on for now since I was 27. I'm 37. This was my 10th year doing this. It's now being called by many people as the world's best business coach program. And you say, by what measure? Well, if you look around, I mean, the eMyth program out there, you know, it's like double what we charge. And yeah. They don't include any of the back end.
Nothing.
Or there's like the Traction program out there. It's a good program, but they charge a lot more money. I mean, there's a lot of the John Maxwell program. I mean, they teach you a lot of concepts, but there's not a lot of actual back end. It's like consulting with the back end. And so my whole obsession is, I've told Vanessa, I'm going to stay obsessed with this until we make it affordable for entrepreneurs to take their business to the next level. And until it's affordable, it's not good enough. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how it's actually harder to quit something than it is to stick with it until success. It's the Thrive Time Show on your radio. Stay tuned.
Make sure you never miss a broadcast by signing up for the Thrive Time Show podcast.
I wish that I could fly into the sky.
Get ready to enter the Thrive Time Show.
He be the Z and I be the C. Teaching business skills from clay to Z. We both grew up poor, but we're poor no more. The goal of this show is to help you score. I couldn't see the mic until my son could see. But I learned to rock the mic in the high school scene. A young DJ with a $1 million dream. Numb to the pain that rejection brings. So I, like a sock farmer, sweated for that green. Now I'm on your radio with a thank you and please. Share this podcast with a friend and enemy. Now it's talks of business from clay to Z.
It's a Thrive Time Show on the radio. Yes, it is.
Oh, yes, it is the Thrive Time Show on your radio. And specifically today, we are talking about how you can achieve success, but you must have a magnificent obsession. You've got to be obsessed with something. You've got to actually have the mindset that you're not going to stop until you get there, because the Dyson vacuum, you know, it took him 15 years to develop that. It took Tesla 10 years to become profitable. Henry Ford, I mean, he didn't do so well in business. He failed twice. Walt Disney actually failed 7 times before success. FedEx took over a decade to make a profit. Amazon took 7 years to make a profit. You're just reading all the companies in the world. That's right. All the companies that are successful took time. But what happens, Chup, is people, they get to a level where they get frustrated because they haven't read page 32 of Think and Grow Rich, where he says, you are the master of your fate, the captain of your soul. Because when Henley wrote the prophetic thoughts, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul, he should have informed us that we are the masters of our fate, the captains of our souls, because we have the power to control our thoughts. So I want, Chup, I want you to kind of encourage the person out there listening who has been working on their idea for about 2 years, and they think it's easier to quit, but yet you as an entrepreneur know that it's actually not. Can we break down this whole concept of, you know, gosh, it's so easy to quit, you know? I'd probably just want to wrap it up.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Wrap it up.
Well, a couple things on that topic, okay? If you're self-employed and you've been working out there, you're thinking about giving up, so if you're going to give up first, so you're at that river, you're at a river and you can't seem to cross it. You don't have a bridge, you don't have a boat. Well, before you give up, make sure that that river actually is uncrossable. Sometimes there really are uncrossable rivers and that you will die trying to get across, okay? But most people quit before they even try. Does that make sense? They quit before they try. And then if it involves, you know, being self-employed, Are you going to give up on your dreams that easily? You've invested time, effort, money. Are you going to give up that easy? And then think about it from this aspect too. You're years into this thing, and now you're going to change and go become an employee. If you have some financial goals that you're trying to hit, it's going to be a lot harder to get to those goals as an employee than as a business owner who's built a sustainable, duplicable business based on systems. Does that make sense?
I have some really horrible, horrible examples I want to give that will show my complete sexism and lack of tact, but they're sincere.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah. I mean,
it might as well just validate the theory people have. Okay. So Napoleon Hill says here from page 32, it says, Henry Ford is a success because he understands and applies the principles of success. One of these is desire, knowing what one wants. Remembering this Ford story as you read and pick out the lines in which the secret of his stupendous achievement has been described. If you can do this, if you can lay your finger on the particular group of principles which made Henry Ford rich, you can equal his achievements in almost any calling for which you are suited. You are the master of your fate, the captain of your soul. So this is what happens. I'm going to Oral Roberts University. And like many people, I'm going to the game. And so this is kind of, if I had to take you inside an Oral Roberts University game, this is kind of how the game sounds. There's a lot of squeaky shoes, a lot of, basketball players running around.
Balls bouncing.
The ball is bouncing, And then there's an announcer like, now three-pointer for number 32, or there it's all of a sudden it's like, and it goes into halftime. The different quarters are ending, and then there's bump, ba-da, ba-da, do-do. Everybody, bump, 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 do-do, ba-doo. And it's just like a ba-da, ba-da, da-da, da, hey, ba-da, ba-da. And so there's a lot of, it's basketball, right? And they play the YMCA. Everybody, we're going to bring your kids down to half court. We're singing YMCA, and there's just it's what basketball is. You're in college, so you go to the game.
You've painted a nice picture.
Well, what you do is you go to the game, Chef. You go to the game with a purpose, because you realize as a basketball player who's not good enough to play at the college level that you are the sixth man for the team. Right. They only allow five guys on the court. But if you can taunt the opposing team in a Christian way, because you're going to Oral Roberts University and you get thrown out of the game if you're too wild. But what you do is if you can taunt the opposing player, get into his ear, get into his head.
Air ball.
Right. If you can taunt that man, then what you do is you get to help your team win.
Yes.
And so you yell things like timeout, and the officials look around to try to figure out who did it.
Ooh, what?
And the buddy you're friend with, he looks at you and goes, dude, that was dirty. That was dirty, dude. Or you'll bring a whistle to the game,
Sound like the ref.
And you'll blow the whistle under your shirt. And again, your friend will go, dude, you're an extremist. You're like a jihadist of this game. And then over time, you've been to probably six or seven games, and you've been tossed out of one. You've had to go talk to the dean about another game.
It's
and
a you typical path.
You have no tact or class. And you realize you've done what you can do here. If they're not going to let you blow the whistle in the game, or yell timeout, then really you can't do anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, because after all, you don't play on the court.
True.
So I start doing what college guys do. I mean, I'm not. Some of you are just not going to admit this is what you did, but this is what I was doing in college. I'm checking out the cheerleaders. I'm looking around. I'm scanning from left to right, from right to left. Oftentimes, I would add variety. I might go from right to left or left to right. But usually, just either way, horizontal. Now, sometimes go vertical. So I go up and down, down, up, down. Whoa. And then all of a sudden, one day, I was scanning. I look to my left, look to my right, and I thought, you know what? There is a really attractive cheerleader out there. And I'm just saying. I feel, the one with the curly hair. That's the one. Oh, yes. So I turned to my buddy, my roommate Mark, and I said, soon.
She will be mine.
Oh yes, like a possession. Soon she will be mine. It will happen. I will make it happen. He goes, dude, come on, it's not gonna happen. I'm like, listen here, buddy. I have a magnificent obsession. I'm not gonna stop until I get there. No, Mark. I'm going to think and grow rich. And so they have this thing, this college roommate thing, where you get to ask any girl to go out on a date with your roommate. So the key is your roommate has to have high aspirations.
Ah.
He has to be able to look for the lady of your dreams and say, Dreamweaver, would you go on a date with my roommate tonight? So he basically says, Clay, I'm not going to go. And I said, Mark, you're not going to go? He goes, I'm already dating somebody who doesn't go to school here. And I go,
oh,
you know what you're doing right now? What you're doing, you're letting down you're letting down, and ORU was very religious at the time, and I wasn't a Christian, but I remember laying it on him thick. I said, listen, you're letting down the Holy Spirit, God. You're letting down the Trinity, buddy. All three of them. And that's fine. He's like, dude, you're not going to bring up religion as a way to justify the fact that you want me to ask her out. I said, well, you know what? I tell you what. I don't know God. I can't hear his voice, but if I could hear his voice, he would say to you, poor job. You've let down your fellow man. Boo. You know. And so he decides not to go. So I looked around and thought, what are the tools and resources that I have available? Knowing that failure is not an option.
Not.
So I went and talked to the guy who cuts my hair. He's a Division I soccer player named Jake Aldridge. And Jake could cut some hair. He invented the duck butt haircut that I have still sported to this day when allowed. But it's basically have no hair, no lettuce in the back, and you've got a little hair in the front. It's kind of formal in the front, parting the back. Your head is like kind of almost like a number two in the back. And then the front, you got just a little bit of hair to let people know that, hey, I can still do something with that if I want to, you know. And then you wear a hat all the time. But that's what happens. And so Jake, you know, I said, Jake, I want to ask this girl out on a date. And Jake's like a junior. He's a Division I soccer star. Everyone knows
his
name.
He's got it going on.
He does. He's got great calves.
Look at those.
He's like Dr. Z's calves. And people love him. They know who he is, you know. And he says, here's the deal. My man, I will make it happen. But it's going to require me to sow some seeds. I'm going to have to work overtime on this deal. So you owe me, my man. So he starts sitting by her at lunch. You know, he's dating somebody, you know. So he's sitting with her, with his girlfriend. And it's kind of like, so, hey, Vanessa, how are you? You know. And she says, I'm doing fine. You know. And he says, how are you, Jake? He says, well, you know, got this roommate date thing, and my friend's roommate is a tool. She goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, my friend is like the nicest guy I've ever met. I mean, this guy, he has his own business out of his dorm room. He's going to be like a Rockefeller someday. This guy's work ethic is sick, you know, and he's kind of funny, and he's kind of, you know, he's just, I'm telling you, it's a shame. It's an abomination.
It is an abomination.
That he's not going to be able to have a date to go with on this get your roommate a date. So I'm just telling you, I'm frustrated for him. But anyway, I'm going to go get some turkey and have my lunch and whatever else I do. And good to see you, Vanessa. You know, keep him in your prayers. You know. So he keeps doing this day after day after day.
This was a soft sell. He was
putting
in
the work. This took a lot of effort. Long story short, he ends up convincing Vanessa to go on a date with me. And then I had to trick her into doing some future dates with me. And then I kept tricking her, and now I've had to trick her to stay married to me. But it was a magnificent obsession,
right?
Because I saw her right there, knowing as a cheerleader out there cheering for Oral Roberts University that she would be mine someday. And I was obsessed about it. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how you can obsess your way to success. You've got to obsess your way to success. My name is Clay Clark. Listen to the Thrive Time Show on your radio. If you've yet to subscribe to the podcast, do it today by going to thrivetimeshow.com, click on the podcast button, and then subscribe. I promise you'll never regret it. It's the Thrive Time Show on your radio. Stay tuned.
You know that I'm a hustler, hustler.